hate. No hype. No fear. We are TFR. Frequency Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for tuning in once again. You have found it. This is the Red Pill Report's radio broadcast. Today is the 25th day of February, and that makes it a Wednesday, the big crux of the week. We are here, ladies and gentlemen, so we're going to get through it all together. Appreciate you guys all being here. Love having you guys in the chat room at truthfrequencyradio.com. It's just so nice to see you guys every morning. Appreciate all of you guys showing up. It's going to be a big show today, not going to lie. Lots of stuff going on in the news. The powers that shouldn't be are still colluding together and still trying to, essentially kill everyone, poison everyone, put, encourage war all over the planet. Total destruction, basically, is what they're going for right now. And they seem to be pretty successful. I've been talking to some people via email and over the phone the last couple days, and I got to be honest, we're all pretty fed up. And maybe it's just because it's Wednesday. Maybe we're all in, like, I'm in a Wednesday mode, and I'm just kind of up to my eyeballs in it. But I'll tell you what. A lot of people getting sick and tired of the agenda, this crazy, ridiculous societal structure that we have created, where we have decided to completely surround ourselves with fraud on every single level. It's a little bit overwhelming at times. So anyway, I hope you guys are doing okay out there, and are not feeling super overwhelmed. We are working hard to find solutions to some of these problems that we're facing right now, and we're also we're doing what we can to try and point out some of the stuff they're trying to sneak by us, maybe a little bit. Some of the things that you maybe wouldn't notice if you weren't paying attention. So Jamie Hanshaw is coming on the show today. We're going to talk about, Katy Perry and the Super Bowl Satanic Spectacular halftime show that went on at the Super Bowl, plus some interesting stuff at the Grammys as well. This whole concept of the creation of culture is just a topic that doesn't ever seem to run dry. We can, looking at entertainment, looking at the news media, looking at the music, looking at the education, they do all of these subtle things to try and kind of corral us into these frameworks of thinking. And and the other thing that they do is they mock us by showing us ridiculously horrible things right on TV and right at the Super Bowl type of, major events like that. They mock us by showing this stuff. And, big time occultic, big time sacred, symbols and things like that represent these, monolithic fraternities and sororities of evil people that are around the world. And they mock us. They mock us on our money. They mock us, in the events that we're going to be talking about today with Jamie Hanshaw. It's just insane. It's just insane. And I don't know what to do about it anymore, guys. I'm feeling the emails that I was getting the last couple days. And, we're trying to find solutions. We're doing what we can for you guys out there. But, I understand. I really do. We're going to get through it together. Hopefully something will change soon on a global level, and, maybe humanity can be rescued from all of this. I don't know. We're doing our part here at Red Pill. Appreciate you guys showing up every day. Appreciate you guys showing the website to your friends and family, and, encouraging other people to listen. It's just part of how we're going to get through all this. You know, we build this, we build it, they will come. That's the whole goal here. So, appreciate everybody in the chat room. Can't tell you that enough, guys. Also tomorrow, Wolfgang Halbig is going to come on. I know that there have been some new developments in this whole Sandy Hook situation. I'm hoping that because some of the families of the quote unquote victims have now, decided to do a lawsuit, against the city and against the school district there, that's going to open up discovery. We're going to get all kinds of information now that we probably wouldn't have gone. And I was thinking the other day, I was wondering why they waited until the last day to file that lawsuit. And I wonder if it just took them that long to come up with a way to make sure all this stuff is hidden. You know, they passed laws, I think in the Sandy Hook area, in the Connecticut area, saying that some of the crime scene evidence now, you know, would be classified forever, right? So they're changing laws right now to basically try and hide some of this information that I think this lawsuit is going to be disclosing. So I wonder if that's what was going on. They were spending a lot of time trying to kind of get all their ducks in a row. So anyway, we'll talk to Wolfgang Halbig about that tomorrow, bring everybody back up to speed on the Sandy Hook situation, something I don't want to forget about because I don't think it happened. I really don't. Looking forward to that tomorrow. And then Friday, Michael Cremo going to be on the show. He is the forbidden archaeologist. He wrote Forbidden Archaeology back in 1993, and it is an absolute high water mark for that entire, what do you want to call it? That entire venue, that entire... Okay, brain lock, we're moving on. How are you guys doing today? Everybody doing well? Great. So Michael Cremo will be joining us tomorrow, talking about hidden architecture, hidden archaeology, things like that. It's going to be very fascinating stuff. We'll talk about Darwin, things like that too. So be a good Friday show. We try and get a little out there on Fridays. Anyway, wow. Had some tech stuff yesterday. Appreciate you guys hanging out through that. Let's move on to the news because there's a lot of news going on right now. And again, if you guys go to redpillreports.com and get into the show section, you'll be able to find all of the articles that we find to be pertinent to your lives, all around the world and in your neck of the woods. But anyway, massive new, leak of confidential spy cables. We kind of mentioned this a little bit yesterday with some of the insights that were coming out from this new leak, regarding, Iran, right? We were talking about Israel and maybe CIA kind of working together to, make it look a little bit like Iran might have been trying to develop some nuclear weapons when they really weren't. That whole disclosure came out of this particular new leak of confidential spy files. They're coming out from the MI6, Mossad, and the FSB, and this is not related to Snowden. This is there was actually quite a bit of discussion from the State Department and from a lot of kind of, you know, higher ups in the agencies here talking about their concern about another large leak coming out, a leak similar to the ones that Snowden disclosed. And this is essentially what they were talking about, and it has now come to fruition. So documents from Britain's MI6 and Israel's Mossad are included, along with the Russian FSB, the South African SSA, and the Australian ASIO. No American intelligence agencies appear to be included in this, and it does look like the leak came from specifically the South African SSA. It does look like there was potentially an agent there that has just gotten all this information out all of a sudden. And all of the Al Jazeera is supposedly going to be publishing the leaks over the next few days in conjunction with The Guardian, promising that they are going to provide an unprecedented insight into operational dealings of the shadowy and highly politicized realm of global espionage. So, Israel's true assessment of Iran's nuclear capabilities. We talked about that yesterday a little bit. An MI6 operation to recruit a North Korean spy is something we're going to be talking about in the next few days. An assassination plot targeting an African Union leader. And the source for these documents appears to be a leak in the South Africa's SSA, as I mentioned, including detailed briefings and internal analysis written by operatives of the South Africa's SSA, as well as secret correspondences with the U.S. intelligence agencies, CIA and Britain's MI6, Israel's Mossad, Russia's FSB, and Iran's operatives, as well as dozens of other services from Asia to the Middle East and Africa. So, yeah, we're colluding with everyone. There's a whole lot more going on under the scenes that they don't want us to know about, and it looks like The Guardian and Al Jazeera have gotten their hands on quite a bit of it, and there's going to be a lot of stuff coming out in the next week. So I would imagine we'll see a lot of these alphabet agencies scrambling right now to try and backpedal away from some of these issues really quick. Or again, it seems like every day we get more and more mired in the quicksand of false flag territory. And every time one of these major disclosures comes out, it gets a little concerning because you think, okay, what are they going to have to do to distract us from this? Because it does look like we needed to be distracted right now. They can't imagine they'd want us hanging out and thinking about all this stuff. New terror alert also for France coming out. At least five different unmanned drones were spotted flying above Paris landmarks, including the Eiffel Tower and the U.S. Embassy, just Tuesday night. So unmanned aircraft were seen flying over tourist hotspots in the French capital. They appeared in at least five different locations in the city between midnight and 6 a.m. Security officials were unable to catch the operators of the drone aircraft, and civilian drones are thought as a security risk and are actually banned in Paris. So they're not supposed to be any out flying around at all. And people, you know, authorities are concerned that they might be being used to assess security levels of a target before some kind of terror attack. So again, five different drones spotted illegally flying around city landmarks, Eiffel Tower, Bastille Square, places like that, and the U.S. Embassy, which freaked everybody out. So, you know, that's essentially where we're at right now. There were a bunch of drones, just like you would expect with drones. Nobody could be caught because they don't have the, quote unquote technology that they need to, it's just so stupid. They go on and talk about in this article about how, scary the drones are, and then there's a stupid video at the bottom where they've got a drone with like a net on the bottom. So they've got like some sort of, you know, bigger drone that's gonna swoop in and it's gonna put a net over the other drone. That's ridiculous. All these drones are run by Wi-Fi signals. I could develop a system that would take a drone out of the sky with $100 worth of parts off the internet. So the idea that these guys can't put up a no-fly zone around the Eiffel Tower using some pretty simple technology is pretty stupid. And then, you know, so again, what are they trying to do? They're trying to ramp up the fear aspect, right? We've talked yesterday about France starting to confiscate passports from people who want to go to Syria or Iraq to join ISIS. They've already isolated six, and they've got 40 more on their list. So, again, got to keep the fear alive. We got unmanned drones that are you can buy at Radio Shack flying around the city. And, of course, you know, God only knows what the terrorists are doing with these unmanned drones. It's just silly. So, anyway, we could use technology to fix the problem is basically what I'm saying. There's a company out there that's a Kickstarter program right now called, I think it's No Drone Zone or something like that. Boy, if it's not No Drone Zone, somebody write that down because we need to create that as an app. That's a really good name. And I don't think that is what it is. So somebody coin that real quick. But it's a no-go zone for drones. And what they're doing is it's just like a no-call list where you would call and put your name on a registry. They're doing that with drone manufacturers, and then they are hard coding in you know, the actual motherboards of the drones, locations where those drones can't go, just building up an invisible force field. So if they try and fly it over to the White House, it stops. That's not very difficult, right? I mean, I don't know. Yes, good point, Poet. So drones going around, that's a great point. So people in France need to be totally freaked out because there are, unmanned drones being piloted by drunk frat people in their, you know, in their dorm rooms, but nothing in the mainstream media about the U.S. drones continuing to kill people all over the Middle East, Pakistan, Yemen. I totally agree with that. So be scared of the little drones that you can get from Radio Shack, or you could have gotten at Radio Shack until they went Chapter 13. Thanks, Eric, for that update. so now you have to go to Best Buy to get your drones, and, of course, Amazon. Yeah, they want people in France afraid of that, and that's apparently what they've accomplished. How do you know it's not just the police flying the drones around, saying, hey, look, we got drones, now we have to be scared just to put more draconian laws? That's got to be the cheapest way to pass laws you could possibly even imagine. It costs you $100 to buy a drone, and then now all of a sudden you can ramp up all your security legislation because, we got these $100 drones flying around. I'm sorry. I'm just over. I realize I'm being kind of cynical today, but I'm pretty over the planet at this point, ladies and gentlemen. Although, super fantastic. Everything is still super fantastic, and I hope you guys are ready for a super fantastic week. Plan on having a good one. I am. News out of Iraq. Apparently, the Iraqi army shot down two UK planes that were apparently, allegedly, carrying weapons for ISIS. This just happened 2 days ago. Iraq's army, as I said, shot down two British planes as they were apparently carrying weapons for the ISIL terrorists in Al Anbar province, according to a senior lawmaker disclosing this on Monday. He said the Iraqi parliament has asked London for an explanation in this regard. I don't think you need an explanation. I think the explanation is pretty straightforward. We have been trying to destabilize that country and keep it destabilized for a long time. Makes a lot of sense, too, that if you don't want that situation to come to an end, because we would like to continue to sell weapons. We would also like to continue to use the air bases there. So again, the lawmaker that they are talking about in this article has laid it on the line and said, you know, they have gotten so much information, about from people in security forces in the Anbar province area on numerous flights by the U.S.-led coalition planes to airdrop weapons and supplies for ISIL. The Iraqi lawmaker further noted that the cause of such Western aids to the terror group explains that the U.S. prefers a chaotic situation in Anbar province, which is near Kabbalah and Baghdad, and it does not want this ISIS situation to come to an end. That totally makes sense to me. He noted that the weapons that he found, or that they were found in this plane, were made by other European countries and Israel, also all been discovered from the terrorists in the eastern part of the city of Ramadi. Al-Zamali also disclosed in January that the anti-ISIL coalition planes have dropped weapons and foodstuff for ISIL in Salahuddin, which is also near the An Albar and Deir al-Yab provinces. So essentially what they're saying is that the coalition right now is the main reason that ISIL is surviving in Iraq. And why would it be that they would want to foster? Well, because, you know, we want to have bases in Mosul and Anbar. That's essentially what it is. And if this war keeps going on, then that virtually guarantees us that we can continue to have troops there and things like that. It also creates a leverage point. I mean, it's just politics at this point, but it does seem pretty reasonable to assume that if we did have a coalition that had the types of weapons and capabilities that we have, we could wipe out ISIL in about a month. I mean, honestly, and it's been going on for almost a year now. I mean, let's think about it realistically. There's a reason that we want that area destabilized. Israel is certainly on record going back in time as to wanting that area destabilized. So again, I don't know what the answer is. You know, you take these things with a grain of salt. But why would anybody in Iraq want to accuse the British right now? I mean, if Britain is part of this coalition that's going to come in and clear ISIS out, which is supposedly the biggest constraint to Iraq getting their act together, really, is the security situation with ISIS. They say it's going to, you know, take up about 25% of their budget this year is fighting these people. Why would they come out in the news and, lever allegations against UK if UK is one of the people that is supposed to be helping us, helping them clear ISIL? It doesn't make any sense. So is it political grandstanding? Is there something else going on? Or is it true that, that ISIL is perhaps being bolstered, however incidentally, by maybe our contacts through Turkey, maybe our contacts through Israel, maybe maybe some people in Syria, who knows? Okay. Spain has arrested four people suspected of recruiting for ISIS now. Police in Spain's North African enclave of Ceuta arrested four men on Saturday, suspected of belonging to a militant Islamic network that may have been planning an attack in Spain. Spain has stepped up its security as well as efforts to prevent the radicalization of young Muslim citizens following attacks in Paris last month, in which gunmen obviously killed 17 people. The four men of Spanish nationality and Moroccan origin have very similar profiles to those who carried out the attacks in Paris. And let's see, the video released by police showed about a dozen heavily armed officers shining searchlights into windows before storming two houses in the narrow streets of Ceuta. Before dawn on Sunday, they found a gun, combat uniform, Spanish car license plates. Imagine that, finding Spanish car license plates in the country of Spain. I mean, that's notable, right? Got to make sure that gets in the... Okay, and machetes when they made the arrest. But anyway, four people suspected of colluding with ISIS in Spain arrested. Take that with a grain of salt. Okay, top international banks are facing a U.S. probe for alleged precious metal market fixing. Say it isn't so, I don't even believe it. I can't imagine that these banks would ever collude to make money on something like that. but anyway, the U.S. Department of Justice, yep, in the early stages of an investigation into at least 10 international banks, including JPMorgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, and Barclays, all over alleged manipulation of the precious metals market. I thought this already happened, but apparently that was not. I was mistaken. It was a different scandal that all these people were on the hook for. But anyway, HSBC included in its annual report published Monday that the antitrust division of the Justice Department asked the bank to submit documents related to an investigation into the price setting of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium. The report added that the U.S. Commodity Future Trading Commission, the CFTC, subpoenaed HSBC Bank USA for more information on its precious metals trading, and the bank said it was cooperating with American officials. According to the reports, the other banks involved in the investigation include the Bank of Nova Scotia, the Credit Suisse, Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan Chase, Societe Generale, Standard Bank, and UBS. The banks all have yet to comment because they don't know what the heck they're going to do. But investors and jewelers in the United States have already sued a handful of top financial firms for an alleged 8-year manipulation of platinum and palladium prices. That was the initial one that I was thinking of. But those accused in that one included, again, Goldman Sachs, the world's biggest global investment bank, HSBC Holdings, Europe's largest bank by market value, and the metal units of the world's largest chemical company, BASF, and Standard Bank Group from South Africa, which is the world's largest producer of platinum and the single largest producer of palladium after Russia. So until recently, gold, silver, platinum, palladium were all set by a century-old process where a small number of banksters would get together and talk on the phone, and essentially, that's it. I mean, that's the system. They don't talk about any details because there are no details. It's collusion and it's conspiracy. But, you know, criminals are going to criminal. That's what I think. Anyway, okay, so the DOJ's precious metal probe now serves in the midst of the global banking investigations into the rigging of other financial benchmarks. So it looks like just about every financial benchmark out there has been manipulated. And if you think about trying to just pick the top 10 banks, that's, you know, who's responsible essentially at this point. And it also falls back into my earlier rant about how sick I am of everything. And because they are certainly this, the international banking cartel, man, this is, it's gotten to a point now where we gotta, something's gotta be done. And I don't know what it's gonna be. I'm hoping there are some white hats out there that are gonna do something, but man, this is just getting ridiculous. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is calling for full combat readiness, despite the fact that it looks like he has gained about 100 pounds in the last 3 months. And it really, honestly, he looks like somebody put a gummy bear in a suit. But I do have to admit also his new haircut still looks spectacular. I'm calling it the David from 90210. But anyway, he is now asking to make sure the troops are readiness. He's looking for some efficiency upgrades, things like that. But anyway, having a historic speech just earlier this week and essentially saying that we need to be ready to go war with the United States, which is unusual because they seem to keep flip-flopping back and forth. We just had that report maybe a couple weeks ago where Kim Jong-un was saying we're ready to come and have some high-level discussions. Well, not really. They were having discussions about the potential of having discussions about having discussions, and then at those discussions they were going to – anyway, but it doesn't look like any of that stuff went well because now – Kim Jong-un and his haircut both calling for full combat readiness for war with the United States. Also got to point out, too, he is now trimming his eyebrows. If you took Hitler's mustache and doubled it and put one over each of Kim Jong-un's eyes, that's what you'd be looking at right now. It looks like two little Hitler mustaches over each one of his eyeballs. I don't know. I don't know if that means anything to you guys, but I'm reading into stuff pretty deeply these days. Moving on here, what else is going on? Okay, we can probably move away from the international news right meow. Moving on to some national news. I should do a weekly Kim Jong-un hair update. Okay, I will maybe we should put a website, try and get some like live streaming cameras that would just follow his hair all the time. I'm concerned. I don't want to irritate his hair. His hair looks like it might, I don't know, it might be violent or I don't know. I don't know the political ideology of his haircut, so I don't want to offend it in any way and have it, you know what I mean? I don't know. Anyway, moving on. National news. The Department of Justice now has announced that it will not be filing charges against Zimmerman in the Martin shooting. They announced just yesterday it will not file federal civil rights charges against George Zimmerman, the Florida man who was acquitted last year of second-degree murder following the shooting of Trayvon Martin, who was an unarmed black man. So, again, the decision announced in the waning days of Holder's tenure resolves this case that focused on self-defense gun laws and becoming a flashpoint for the national conversation about race a couple of years before the Ferguson, Missouri police shooting. Zimmerman has said he acted in self-defense when he shot the 17-year-old Martin during a confrontation inside a gated community in Sanford, Florida, just outside Orlando. Martin, who was black, was unarmed when he was killed. Once Zimmerman was acquitted of the second-degree murder charge by a state jury in July, Martin's family turned to the federal investigation, hoping that it would be help bring accountability for this shooting. But the probe focused on whether the killing amounted to a federal civil rights violation, which would have required proof that it was motivated by racial animosity. And although Martin's parents have said that Zimmerman initiated the fight and racially profiled Martin, The Justice Department said there was not enough evidence to bring federal civil rights charges, which again would have required proof that the killing was motivated by racial animosity. So that's what's going on with the Trayvon Martin Zimmerman case there. I don't know what you guys think about that, if that's good news or bad news. I really tried to stay about as far away from that particular story as possible when it happened, because it just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Okay, moving on here. We're coming up on a break, but I think I can get through this. This is another big national story that just broke yesterday. Barack Obama on Tuesday, as promised, swiftly vetoed a Republican bill approving the Keystone XL pipeline. So again, vetoing the Republican approved bill for the pipeline, leaving the long debated project in limbo for another, well, indefinite period of time. The U.S. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, after receiving Obama's veto message, immediately countered by announcing the Republican-led chamber would attempt to override it by March 3rd, but that's pretty unlikely, even though their majority, obviously Republicans, they are still four votes short of being able to overturn Obama's veto. They have vowed to attach language approving the pipeline to a spending bill or some other type of legislation this year that the president would find more difficult to veto. But again, the Trans-Canada Corp pipeline would have carried about 830,000 barrels a day of mostly Canadian oil sand crude to Nebraska en route to refineries and ports along the U.S. Gulf, and it has been pending for more than 6 years. Obama, who rejected the bill hours after it was sent to the White House, said the measure unwisely bypassed a State Department process that would have determined whether the project would be beneficial to the United States. So I'll tell you what, shipping a bunch of oil down to a bunch of refineries that are closed on the Gulf Coast right now probably doesn't make a lot of sense either. But so just putting that out there. Remember, all the refineries are not open right now because of the unions, and you got to have to wonder who's directing the unions now, shutting the economy down. Got to wonder. Anyway, I'm going to wonder while I'm getting some coffee in this 3-minute break. You guys can wonder as well. I'll talk to you guys in just a few minutes. 3-minute break. We'll be right back. Lots more news to cover. We've got some good science and tech stuff, lots of economic things, and Jamie Hanshaw will be joining us about a half an hour. Keep it right here, guys.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
A sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark. As ominous clouds move in and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky, and you realize you are not prepared.
I am telling you to take cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to My Patriot Supply. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org. Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Free FM with Nathan Frazier.
Sundays, Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry, I was wetting my whistle right there. Hope you guys are doing well. Appreciate you guys hanging out through that 3-minute break, and just love having all you guys in the chat room. So nice to see you guys in there this morning. If you guys are not in the chat room at truthfrequencyradio.com, you're missing out. There's a lot of very smart people in there having some good conversations, and it's a great place where you can go and just kind of learn and listen along with the show and learn from your fellow listeners and things like that. It's fantastic stuff. Okay. Jumping back into the news here real quick, because we do have a lot of stuff to cover today, and I'm going to try and start speeding this stuff up for you guys here, but giving you guys a follow-up on the story that we mentioned yesterday. Remember, the Department of Homeland Security warning everyone they're going to be running out of money, so Jay Johnson going on TV saying, oh, Bank of America, or Mall of America, you guys are going to, you know, don't go to the Mall of America. Oh, my gosh, there's a threat because these Somalians have released this video that shows that they want to go and they used scenes from the Mall of America and their little video. So anyway, he was trying to rile everybody up. But anyway, after his comments, the actual DHS spokeswoman, Marsha Carton, came out and said that we're not aware of any specific credible threats or plots against the Mall of America or any other domestic commercial shopping centers. So again, all of that was just crap trying to get people riled up so that these guys don't run out of money. But they did clarify, just wanted to put that out there, no credible threat, and you can for sure go to the Mall of America and you'll probably be fine. Although they don't allow concealed weapons in the Mall of America. A lot of malls are like that. So, I wouldn't go there and shop there because why would I want to go someplace where I know that I'm, you know, not going to have the upper hand if something bad happens. So anyway, goofy situation. And I don't want to say that. I don't want to use the word goofy. This is a tragic situation that actually happened in Maryland, but, three Maryland correctional officers have now been placed on administrative leave. As officials right now are investigating the death of an inmate in a steam-filled cell, a prison spokesperson said just yesterday. So authorities are investigating right now what killed inmate Louis Lasath. He was 35. He was serving a life sentence in Jessup Correctional Institution. He was serving a life sentence for murder. But he was discovered on Friday last week in his cell, which was filled with steam, according to the prison spokesperson there. Very unusual. This does not make any sense at all. There was no fire in the cell, and they say no foul play is suspected. It's unclear whether the death was accidental or suicide, according again to the prison spokesperson there. But Lasath was housed alone. So what in the world happened in this Maryland prison? I don't know, but that's what we know so far. Again, inmate on death row, but a cell filled with steam. That doesn't, I mean, seems like that'd be pretty easy to isolate the source of that in a cell with only one person in it, and they're coming out and they're saying no foul play. So I guess maybe an industrial accident of some kind, but how did this poor guy's cell get filled with steam? Talk about a horrible way to go. Speaking of a horrible way to go, Chicago in the news right now. Pretty interesting stuff coming out. The Chicago Police Department, apparently. Hey, you know how the CIA has black sites? Well, Chicago Police Department felt like maybe they wanted to have a black site too. So that's what they did. They've got an off-the-books interrogation compound there in Chicago where they are rendering Americans unable to be found by family or attorneys while locked inside what lawyers say is the domestic equivalent of a CIA black site. The facility, a nondescript warehouse in Chicago's west side known as Homan Square, has been long has long been the scene of secretive work by special police units there. Interviews with local attorneys and one protester who spent the better part of a day shackled in Homan Square describe operations that deny access to basic constitutional rights. Alleged police practices at Homan Square, according to those familiar with the facility, spoke out to The Guardian this week after its investigation into Chicago police abuse. They say at the facility they're keeping arrestees out of official booking databases, so you're in a black hole. There's nobody that can find you. They will beat you. There have been people there that have gotten pretty bad head wounds coming out of there. They'll have you shackled for long periods of time. They deny attorneys any access at all to the quote-unquote secure facility, and they will hold you without legal counsel between 12 and 24 hours, including people young as 15. One man was found unresponsive in a Homan Square interview room and then was later pronounced dead. So the secretive warehouse, the latest example of Chicago police practices that echo the much-criticized detention abuses of the U.S. war on terrorism. While those abuses have impacted people overseas, Homan Square is said now to house military-style vehicles, interrogation cells, and even a cage. They obviously are training their focus on Americans, most often poor, black, and brown there in Chicago. But unlike a precinct, no one taken to Homan Square is said to be booked. Witnesses, suspects, or other Chicagoans who end up inside do not appear to have a public or searchable record entered into a database indicating where they are, as happens when someone is booked into a precinct. So lawyers and relatives insist that there is no way of finding where these people are, and those lawyers who have attempted to gain access to Homan Square are most often turned away, even as their clients remain in custody inside. There was a Chicago lawyer, Julia Bartz. She says it's kind of an open secret among attorneys and attorneys that regularly make police station visits that this place exists, and if you can't find your client in the system, it's a pretty good odds that they are there. Wow. I mean, you're talking about a rendition center in a warehouse in downtown Chicago now. We're not talking about Abu Ghraib or some other place. We're talking about Chicago. So, good times. Go team. All right. Want to clear this up for everybody, too. Is it going to be legal to smoke weed in Washington, D.C. on Thursday? Yes and no. We'll just say that. That's where we're at right now. Obviously, been a lot of back and forth about what's going on with D.C. Alaska just became the third state to legalize recreational use of marijuana. I think it was yesterday or the day before. Marijuana is supposed to be legal in D.C. on Thursday, but what is the real deal? And I'm just kind of putting this out there in case you guys don't know. But the mayor's office has finally decided to clarify what exactly will be legal at 12:01 Thursday morning. So a brief, 14 hours from now. And who it will be legal for. So here's the long and the short of it. If you are 21 or older, you will be able to smoke and consume pot on private property. You will be able to possess up to 2 ounces. You can grow up to 6 plants, only 3 of which are mature, inside of your primary residence. I don't know how they're going to qualify that word, mature. You're allowed to give 1 ounce to another person as long as you don't get anything back for it. What? And you are allowed to have restrained, quote unquote, marijuana parties within a private residence as long as there is never more than 2 ounces of pot per person. That's what's going to be going on in Washington, D.C. I've got to tell you, that sounds like a party I would like to go to. And I don't care if that pigeonholes me. If you're judging me right now, I'll tell you what. You give me a call. We'll have a chat. Okay. FedEx in the news also. We should probably talk about this. We talked a little bit about Cody Wilson's invention called the Ghost Gunner. Ghost Gunner is essentially a very small milling machine, in that you can basically take an 80% completed AR-15 part, what you would call a lower, which is a functional part of the gun that hasn't been completely made functional yet. And 80% parts are legal, but then you need a milling machine, much like the Ghost Runner machine that this young man Cody Wilson has invented. Anyway, FedEx has decided that they won't ship his machine to anyone. They won't even give him a rate. It's part of this whole choke point thing where they are targeting certain industries like banking and things like that to try and keep money and keep sales of products that the government deems to be things that they don't want us to have off of our radars. The inability to get it. If you can go and look up Operation Choke Point, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But again, FedEx now has decided that they will not be shipping this Ghost Runner, and it's essentially putting this gentleman out of business. It doesn't make a lot of sense because they have FedEx has got business arrangements with the National Rifle Association. They regularly ship firearms. This guy's machine isn't even a weapon. It's not a gun. It's just a machine. And then, you know, you could probably use it to make a whole slew of other things other than guns, other than gun parts. But FedEx doesn't seem to care. They've decided that despite the fact that this gentleman has over 1,000 orders right now standing, they're going to, I mean, he's essentially going to have his business shut down because FedEx is deciding that they don't want to ship his stuff. So just unbelievable to me. we'll skip that one and we'll talk a little bit. More than 16,900 federal employees took home in excess of 200,000 in base salaries last year, according to a partial database of federal salary data. So the information compiled by FedSmith.com, using data from the Office of Personnel Management and other agencies, shows the annual compensation for every civilian federal worker, save those at the Defense Department. The number of workers earning more than $200,000 a year represented about 1.6% of employees on the list, and is up from about 15,000 who cleared that salary back in 2013. It also makes up a slightly higher percentage of the employees on this particular list. Most of the high earners worked as medical officers at the Veterans Affairs Department. Other agencies that required highly specialized workforce paid several employees at least $200,000 a year. And these included the National Institute of Health, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, and the Food and Drug Administration, and the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, Federal Housing Finance Agency, and the SEC. So it's either banking or healthcare, really, is where all this big money is going. And, you know, kind of makes sense. They're the most criminal. More than 1,600 federal employees cleared $300,000 in base salaries last year. And just two, both VA doctors, one in Palo Alto, California, and one in Pittsburgh, took home more than $400,000 a year. Why do I mention that? Well, I just want to mention that because thought you guys might care that a majority, 52% of Obamacare enrollees receiving an advanced premium tax credit to purchase Obamacare now facing the prospect of paying back $530 of that tax to the IRS, according to a new study from the H&R Block. So again, more than 50% of people who are enrolled as Obamacare enrollees who received the advanced premium tax credit under Obama are probably going to have to pay quite a bit of that back, is essentially what H&R Block is saying right now. Plus, it still remains unclear. Well, let me back up here. So under Obamacare, taxpayers right now earning between 133 and 400% of the federal poverty level are eligible to receive a tax credit to help purchase insurance on the Obamacare exchanges, right? The tax credit is calculating using old tax data of the recipients. The credit is advanced ahead of time to the taxpayer's insurance company. Wow. That's just a remarkable statement. Tax credit, you don't even get the credit. It's advanced to your insurance company. I mean, if you have to look much further than that to see the collusion involved with this Obamacare debacle, I got to tell you, I keep feeling like I was supposed to do something involving this. Like perhaps I was supposed to sign up for something on a website someplace. I don't know. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to do it. Just putting that out there right now. There's no way under God's green earth. And I'll tell you guys, IRS, if you're listening, come get me, boys. I'm ready. Let's do this thing because I'm not ever going to give you a dime. The jig is up. Consent has been withdrawn. You're not getting money. And if I meet a doctor that's taken an oath and decides not to treat myself or my family, well, you and I are going to have a problem also, brother, because I'm throwing down the gauntlet here. We're done. Done dealing with all this crap. Okay. Anyway, according to this study, a majority of credit recipients, again, about 52%, are going to have to pay back the IRS on average about $530, reducing their refunds on average about 17%. It also remains unclear right now how this information relates to the revelation last week that 800,000 healthcare Obamacare customers and a further 100,000 in California received inaccurate 1095, which is one of the tax reporting forms that you have to go through and deal with all this crap. I would just take it and try and fold it up into some kind of origami shape and just send it back to them. But anyway, this reconciliation that they're talking about here, trying to fix all this, that they can't even, there's no way they can do that for the 800,000 people that have gotten inaccurate 1095 forms. So we have mired ourselves now in an absolute political paperwork nightmare revolving around the IRS and these insurance companies. And either way, nobody is signing up for this garbage. Nobody is doing it. My sound is going out. JD, you upset that the alphabet soup agencies. I'm upset with anybody that thinks that they have authority over anybody else anymore. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of these people fleecing our time, talent, and energy to float their fiat currency and then having the audacity to turn around and tell me what my time, talent, and energy is worth in their same currency. That is absolutely ridiculous to me. I'm sick of it, sick of it, sick of it. I don't know what to tell you guys. I'm just getting on a rant here today. But anyway, so the poorest people essentially right now are going to be hit by more ridiculousness revolving Obamacare. I'm staying as far away from all these things as I can possibly do. I'm ready to move to Panama or something. I don't know. we'll skip on that right now. Well, we're going to move into some economic stuff here real quick. Yes, poet, that's a great idea. I can't say that on air, but that would be an origami shape that I would definitely fold this thing into and send it back to them. I'm telling you, if you guys just want to get an idea, look up the 1095 form and try and figure out, I don't know if you guys have done it yet, try and figure out whether or not you're obligated to or how you would get these credits. I tried to look at the tax forms this year, and it used to be easy. The 1095, you do it once. It's a one form. It's a short form. You fill it in. You send it in. Whatever. I haven't done it in years, but just it's crazy nowadays. I mean, seriously, you're going to the book. You're looking up appendages and, you know, cross-referencing things, and you're standing on your head, and you got to be able to make a basket out of swamp reeds or something. I don't know. It's just they've made it so difficult that it's not possible to be used at this point. I think that's what I think. It's a wrap, people. That's right. That's right, brother. Okay. Let's talk about some economic stuff here real quick. What is the BDI doing right now? Truth. I appreciate you being out there, but I'm going to get on top of this whole BDI thing. 516. So we're up about 1% today. Are happy days here again at 516? No, I don't think so. I do not think so. Okay. So moving on. Remember, you got to think about too, what is the shutdown of all these ports going to have to do with BDI? What about the refineries being shut down, all these unions? I think this is, again, asymmetric warfare being waged against us, ladies and gentlemen. S&P up 20, it's down, but it's up. 2,110 is where we're at right now, which is high, which is what I mean by up. The Dow up about $4 right now. So again, S&P down 2 points, Dow up 3 points. So we're as flat as trading could possibly be, right? And it's 18, 2, and 12 for the Dow right now. The dollar index fell just a touch, 94.29. Fantastic opportunity to be getting into gold right now. We're sitting at 1204.90 for an ounce of gold, $16.50 for an ounce of silver. I'll tell you what, that'd be with the dollar index being that strong and gold still hovering right around that $1,200 mark, that'd be a great opportunity to jump in. The euro climbing just a hair against the dollar today, but still at that 113.5 mark. So probably not going to go anywhere from 113 for a long, long time. And the Bitcoin is 232.48 big pennies right now. We'll get you a bright, shiny Bitcoin in the ether because you can't really get a bright, shiny Bitcoin. But that's what's going on there. Yellen coming out yesterday. Not Yellen, like Yellen. Janet Yellen, you know, the Fed chair, Yellen. She testified before Congress on Tuesday after presenting her semi-annual monetary policy report. It's funny, she can actually come out and do a semi-annual monetary policy report, and it could really literally be three words because nobody gives a crap what this woman has to say about anything. The only reason anybody pays attention to her is because they want to know what the hell they're going to do with the interest rates. That's it. That's the only reason. And so she's going to come out. She plays a little cat and mouse game, doesn't really want to say when things are going to go on, but she definitely wants to give the investors the clue that it's not going to happen right now and it possibly won't be happening for a while. So again, the Fed expected to keep its rates at zero. We had this whole big discussion about usury and the fact that, you know, these private banks, they're private people. They're not government employees. The Federal Reserve is owned by private individuals, and those private individuals are billionaires, and they get their money at 0%. They get their money for free, and then they charge us interest on it. And it's ridiculous. It's criminal. It's beyond criminal. It's the most heinous criminal activity that's ever existed on this planet, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not just saying that. I mean, okay. Anyway, moving on. Yellen saying, again, not going to be hiking rates until mid-year. So investors paying close attention to the question and answer period of her, because she essentially said it will be probably a few more meetings until anything happens. So pushing the can back on down the road, again, feds always have the same two objectives, which is obviously to foster maximum employment and trying to reach a 2% inflationary rate. But lots of and she doesn't want us to audit the Fed also. Just putting that out there. Not surprising, really. We also talked a little bit about Greece, and there was a little bit of confusion about the plight of the Greek reform proposal document, which initially was said to have been delayed until yesterday. But then the Troika came out. I'm sorry. The institutions came out to flip around and say they'd actually received it before midnight on Monday, which was the original criteria that they had asked for. So which is true? Did it come on Tuesday or did it come on Monday evening? Well, there was a gentleman, his name is Yanis. He had a pretty simple idea about looking at the properties tag in the leaked proposal from the new Greek finance minister there. So this gentleman, Yanis, he said, I'm just going to look at this document. And it turns out the reason that the Troika received an agreed to version of the Greek reform proposals before midnight on Monday is because they wrote it. Yeah, they wrote it. There's a downloadable PDF you can look at here, and all you have to do is go into the what is it, the da-da-da-da-da tab that says, gonna get this right, properties tab. Yeah, you go to the properties tab, and then you'll be able to see the author of the piece. The author of the piece is Declan Costello. He is an economist working at the Directorate General for Economic and Financial Affairs. Currently, right now, he's the head of the department responsible for the coordination of structural reforms and the economic service, which is involved in developing the economic framework for analysis, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, he works for the EU. He wrote this document. He sent it to the new Greek financial minister, who obviously is going to say, oh, I've already agreed to that because you guys wrote it, so I know you guys will agree to it, so I'll just send it right back to you. That's exactly what happened. So, again, don't ever bet against Rick Rozoff. When he tells you something is going to happen, he's apparently 100% accurate. So he knew that this can was going to get kicked down the road, and it does look like that's what we are seeing right now. Give you guys a little heads up, too, about bailouts or bail-ins, I guess. J.P. Morgan Chase right now preparing to launch large institutional changes and starting to charge large institutional customers for some deposits, citing new rules that will make holding money for the clients too costly, according to a memo reviewed by the Wall Street Journal and people familiar with the plan. So the largest U.S. bank by assets, again, aiming to reduce the affected deposits by up to $100 billion by the end of 2015. Can you say negative interest rates coming to the United States, ladies and gentlemen? I think that's what's going to happen. I think it's pretty close. Also, a little news out of Japan right now. The Japanese JCB payment system. They a lot of people don't know, but Japanese people, they use credit cards just like we do, right? But Japanese credit card systems, well, they're going to be tied into the what country is that again? Oh, Russia. That's right. Russia's national payment system, the NPCS, by the end of 2015. So, again, confirming that JCB is aware that if it doesn't transfer processing to the NPCS before April 1st, it's going to have to make a security deposit to the Central Bank of Russia. They don't want to do that. So, again, earlier this month, Visa and MasterCard localized Russian payments, meaning they will process domestic payments through the national payment system. JCB and Gazprom Bank on Tuesday signed an agreement on jointly issuing credit cards. They will be available this spring and be decorated with an image of Mount Fuji. Gazprom Bank will begin issuing the new JCB cards in March, said the bank's president and head of credit cards and electronic retail services, Sergey, some name that's in Russian. He said this to the TAS news organization. He said, we expect to begin issuing in early March, and the whole network will be ready to receive this card by the end of the month. He also added that the number of issued cards will not be limited, but will be determined solely by demand. He estimates tens of thousands by the end of 2015. They also have agreed to issuing more than 3 million of these payment cards jointly with Russia banks by the end of 2016. So can you say de-dollarization? Can you say BRICS Bank? Can you say moving away from the hegemony of the petrodollar, or perhaps even out from underneath the thumb of international sanctions? I wonder why all these countries are signing up for a new payment program. I just wonder. Okay, Bitcoin also. the anonymity, the thing that makes Bitcoin anonymous has obviously been a challenge for financial regulation, but it's also been a challenge for people who actually want to hide their identity using Bitcoins. I just want to throw this out there that if you want to use Bitcoin and keep yourself anonymous. The best way to do that is to never reuse the same address. Okay, never use the same Bitcoin address for more than once. Once you do, then all your transaction history can immediately be available. But if you use one new one every time, it makes it much more difficult for your things to be tracked. Just throwing that out there in case anybody cares about that. Let's talk a little bit about some science and tech stuff. We're going to be way behind the curve because we're just about out of time, and then we'll be talking to Jamie Hanshaw in here in just a minute. Oh, what's going on that's interesting here? Let me think. Oh, I thought this was an interesting story. We'll finish on this one because it's interesting and it's a little bit funny. But there's a guy named Republican Representative Tom Kirby. He is right now trying to pass some legislation nationally to make sure that people are not going to be creating animal-human hybrids. That's really his thing right now. And so he basically goes on to say, you know, it's already been done. Cornell University, they've already used the embryos of jellyfish merged with the genetic material of human beings. And he says it's time to draw a line. He's like, he does not want to outlaw people being able to use genetic testing to cure human disease, but he does want to explicitly prohibit human-animal hybrids. And he actually goes into some pretty amazing detail here. Specifically, the things that he's concerned about, let's say here. He says you got to be careful when you're dealing with scientific matters. You don't want to do something that has unintended consequences. So this is him talking to some of his buddies. But again, he says, you know, mermaids, okay? You know, mermaids, they're in the ocean. They've been around for a long time. But I don't think we should make them. If they exist, you know, that's fine. Centaurs, right? He says, I don't really like centaurs. Most of the time, he's talking about the half man, half horse mythological creature. He says, they've got really bad attitudes most of the time, and we've got enough people with bad attitudes as it is right now. So again, we don't want to be making centaurs. Birdman, he says, I think that man has been trying to fly forever. He totally approves of birdmen if it's a natural genetic mutation. So he doesn't want to make birdmen. Werewolves, he does also say he does not want any laboratorily created werewolves out there. He doesn't have a problem with naturally occurring werewolves in the environment. He says that's totally fine. But anyway, that's I don't know what to say about that other than that's a true story. That's Representative Tom Kirby. I think he's from Atlanta, Georgia, trying to pass legislation to prevent the creation of werewolves, ladies and gentlemen. So that's what's going on in your Washington, D.C. Lots more news at redpillreports.com. Maybe you guys can go check some of that out. When we come back from this 3-minute break, we'll be talking to Jamie Hanshaw about, Satanism, occultism, creation of culture, stuff like that. Keep it right here, guys. It'll be a good time. See you in 3 minutes.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
We are submersed in a construct that was designed to break us and keep us broken. But it hasn't. It failed. We still go on because we were designed from an eternal template of infinite creativity and not a synthetic house of cards built on pride and false power. Breaking free from the programs and paradigms that hold us down takes courage, endurance, tenacity, and trust. The reason it is so hard is because to be a free and sovereign being, we have to smash every lie, even if it hurts. It is good to be reminded of how resilient, unbreakable, magnificent, and powerful we truly are. And if anything provides a foundation for that, it is the book, Our Universal Journey. Go to OurUniversalJourney.com.au.
archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
No hate, no hype, no fear.
You're listening to Truth Frequency Radio.
We are TFR.
Speakers on?
Yeah.
Can you turn them down? We're getting a little feedback loop here.
Okay.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for sticking with us through that 3-minute break. I'm very, very excited to be welcoming Jamie Hanshaw back to the program today. We always have these wonderful discussions about the powers that shouldn't be and their seemingly unquenchable desire to continue to create culture around us using collusion and trickery, basically. But also they seem to have this overarching desire to show us ridiculous symbolism at these major, major events. Anyway, Jamie Hanshaw is an author. She's a researcher. She does a radio show and has a website at Freeman TV. She does a radio show with Freeman as well. And they talk about all kinds of just esoteric, fantastic information. She's kind of an expert when it comes to all of the many isms that are out there, the Satanism to exorcism to Mormonism. She's very in touch with the occult activities, not in touch with, but in terms of research, she understands the occult activities of a lot of the secret societies, the Freemasons, things like that, magic, sorcery. And all of this stuff seems to keep coming up and being thrown in our face at these crazy events like the Grammys last year, the Grammys this year, the Super Bowl. It's just getting ridiculous out there. But anyway, first of all, Jamie, thank you very much for appearing with us again on the Red Pill Reports today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, of course. So I was watching the Super Bowl this year because obviously Seattle was in it. We're not going to talk about any of that type of stuff right now. But I do nowadays, Jamie, since you and I have had a few of these discussions, I really enjoy watching these halftime shows or the Grammy type events because I'm sitting here watching it thinking, okay, I can see this and that, but I wonder what Jamie's picking up on right now. You know what I mean? Because it's just so fascinating and in your face. But you've written a fantastic couple of articles specifically about the Katy Perry debacle that went down at the halftime show of the Super Bowl. People can find that at freemantv.com. And I think the headline was Katy Perry Illuminati Super Bowl Spectacular. Was that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, that's right.
I read it last night. I think it's fantastic. You actually made some predictions before the event. But let's just start at the beginning. Why is it, in your opinion, that they showcase this stuff in such a public forum, Jamie?
Okay, so this has to do with what they call the revelation of the method. Mm-hmm. And you can Google that and find out more about it. But basically, it's that at the last stages of this trauma-based mind control program that they've been ramping up since World War II, at the very end, they will start revealing to the public what the agenda is. Mm-hmm. And if the public ignores it, if they don't believe it, if they believe it but they do nothing about it, then they've created what they call a doubly enslaved subject.
Okay. What does that mean?
That means that they're enslaved, first of all, by this the matrix, right? The hegemony and the oligarchy that we're living under right now. And so they can't really see past that veil yet. So that's kind of for, you know, smarter critical thinkers. But then if they reveal to everybody that this is indeed witchcraft and black magic and the people don't believe it or they don't do anything to save themselves, then...
Oh, it's like a quiet form of acceptance, even.
Exactly. It's a free will agreement.
Wow.
in the universe that you're allowing this to happen to you, and you can't stop yourselves from your own slavery.
Okay. Wow. That makes sense. Okay. So, does that mean that potentially we're at the end of this whole agenda that they've been trying to present, or are we just kind of moving through this?
Yeah, no, we're pretty much in the final stages, and with the culmination being something like Agenda 21, where there's a mass depopulation of the world, and then the remaining few will be servants to the remaining few of the elite.
Okay, okay. So we're kind of in that transitional period now. I gotcha, mm-hmm. I gotcha. All right, so let's talk about the Super Bowl, because Katy Perry, I tell you, it was overwhelming, some of the symbolism that we're seeing. But take us through from the beginning. What did you see? What did you think was going to happen? Then what actually did happen?
Okay, well, this is really interesting because I think we talked a little bit last time maybe about Beyonce and her symbolism of the Scarlet Woman and the Whore of Babylon and things like that.
We did, yes, ma'am.
Okay, cool. Because I said if they were going to continue with this Scarlet Woman theme, that they would have to have her riding a beast.
Well, let's give the background on the Scarlet Woman thing just in case there's new listeners out there that weren't here last time.
Okay. So the secret religion of the 20th century is called Thelema, right? And this comes from Aleister Crowley. Mm-hmm. And their goddess is the Whore of Babylon. It's kind of a triple goddess with aspects of Kali, the Whore of Babylon, and there was one other. But anyways, they call her Babylon with a A, okay?
Okay.
And you can see a depiction of this in an old movie called Metropolis. Have you seen that movie?
I have the Metropolis poster on my wall. Wasn't it it's a German film, right?
Right. And yeah. So this is kind of a movie about society and the lower class serving the upper class, where the lower class lives underground and feeds the machine,
right?
Or the beast, actually. And it looks like Moloch, and we can get into that a little bit later about Moloch. But in the movie, this dark sorcerer takes a robot that he makes from black magic and high technology, and he gives her the likeness of this slave who has some influence over her exploited coworkers. And he sends this robot woman to perform for the clubs of the elite, and she comes out riding this beast with 7 heads and 10 crowns or something like that, right? The beast from Revelation.
Okay.
And so this is a really good depiction of that. And then so I thought if they were going to keep on with this Scarlet Woman theme, she'd have to be riding a beast.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, so there's this other story about Jack Parsons and L. Rod Hubbard doing this magical working, and they were both followers and friends of Aleister Crowley. And so they did this magical working, and L. Rod Hubbard said, I seen the goddess Babylon incarnate, and she's a savage and beautiful woman riding a great cat-like beast. Hmm. Okay?
Okay.
And I even put a picture of Beyonce riding this black kitty cat in my article to kind of illustrate that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you could see my face at the live broadcast that we did during the Super Bowl. We had not seen, we were just watching it right there on camera.
Right.
And sure enough, she comes out on this lion, and I'm just like, oh my God, she came out on a cat-like beast, just exactly as I said, like the Whore of Babylon.
And it's huge. I mean, we're talking, there was a lot of money that went into this big lion thing, and it didn't fit the theme of the song she was singing, really. Like,
right.
It doesn't make any sense contextually, is what I guess what I'm getting at.
Because she sings, I got the eye of the tiger,
right?
Louder than the lion, and so why shouldn't she be riding a tiger and all this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is something that I found out why lions are important to Satanists, okay?
Okay.
And this has to do with a very long time ago, and I want to tell you this story about this guy who wrote a book called Angelic Defenders and Demonic Abusers, and another book called Cannibalism, Blood Drinking, and High Adept Satanism by Kurth Barker, and you can get his books on download.
Wow.
And there's a link on my website, right?
Those sound heavy.
Yeah, they're really good.
Right, okay.
And so in this book, he tells a story where he went to meet these two weird sisters who were bloodline Illuminati Satanists. and they kept an Egyptian temple in their basement, and they were sisters and they were lovers too, okay? So they kept an Egyptian temple in their basement, they kept a secret occult library and naked slave girls, and they were also cannibals.
Okay.
So then, it was funny because they were actually punished by their satanic committee for not producing income and forced to move to New York City and get jobs at the United Nations think tank division. So if you're wondering where this kind of Agenda 21 mentality is coming from, it's straight from Illuminati Satanists, right?
Right. Okay.
So these weird sisters told this boy who wrote the book when he grew up that they believe that the understanding of the Sphinx was essential to attaining worldly power, and they related this to their cannibalism.
Okay.
And they actually ate human meat, which they, like, kidnapped from migrant farm workers, you know, people who'd never been missed.
Right. Wow.
So the Sphinxes in their basement temple had their own sisters' faces on them, because this is a big part of Satanism, is that there is no God. You know, a lot of Satanists don't worship Satan as a deity. They worship themselves and Satan as just like a representation of the animal force in every person, right?
Okay, okay.
So they told Kurth that according to satanic lore, I can't speak on this like historically or archaeologically, but in the satanic stories, the Sphinx in Egypt, they say is at least 50,000 years old. And originally it had the head of a lion, because at that time, especially in like Mesopotamia and Africa and those places, lions were higher on the food chain than the humans. Because keep in mind, 50,000 years ago was a long time in human technological advancement, right?
And I think if you're there now, you're still below the lion on the food chain. I mean, honestly, you know, I've seen some videos. Those guys are mean. I wouldn't want to mess with a lion.
And so, you know, people would have been easy prey for a pride of lions, especially in the dark before electricity. And so this is kind of where fire worship and solar worship comes into play. But anyways, so the royalty of that time realized that if they were to be like the gods, they had to eat people as lions once had. So they began to eat the peasants, because in Satanism, whoever is highest on the food chain rules.
Okay.
And after that little bit of time, they changed the lion's head on the Sphinx to the head of a pharaoh as a symbol of aristocratic cannibalism.
Wow.
Right. So there's part of your lion symbolism right there.
Okay.
But then that kind of also goes back to the goddess. And so we see Katy Perry kind of resonating these different goddesses in her performance. The first, on top of the lion, she would be representing Ishtar or Inanna. Do you know about them?
I don't know about Ishtar, no. Well, I'd like to know. I know the name, but I'd like to know a little bit more, if that's okay.
So Ishtar was one of the first goddesses way back in the first times, right? In the beginning of recorded history, you had Anu, Enki, Enlil, and Inanna, and those
Sumerian stuff. Okay.
Yeah. So Inanna was the courtesan of the gods. Okay.
Okay.
So she was the holy whore, basically. And Inanna turned into Ishtar when you go into Babylon, and that's where you get the Christians saying Ishtar is the whore of Babylon, which goes back to Aleister Crowley's religion, Thelema, right? So you got like this Inanna Ishtar, whore of Babylon, symbology all going on. And because Ishtar, Inanna was always depicted with lions.
Okay.
And there's this really good artifact called the Burney Relief. And a lot of people have different ideas on what that is. And so this is the depiction of the goddess standing on two lions with owls at her side. Have you seen that?
It's so funny. I'm reading David Icke's Guide to the Universe or something right now, and that exact picture was I just looked at it maybe 30 seconds ago. It's so funny that you mentioned that. Yeah. But with the two owls laying down. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep.
And so this is Inanna Ishtar. So there you've got your lions again, right?
Right.
And so what she was worshipped by sacred prostitution.
Okay.
And then you have Ishtar on the gate of Babylon. You have like over 120 lions on this blue gate of Babylon, the Ishtar gate.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so then that kind of goes into they call it the Lionsgate, and Lionsgate is another big film production company which brought us Twilight and The Hunger Games too, which we see aspects of The Hunger Games in Katy Perry's performance with Lenny Kravitz.
Boy, how hard were they trying to make Lenny Kravitz relevant to anything again, too? Well, just kind of throw that out there.
Elliot with her old dusty old pornographic.
I know, right? Like, well, are you kidding? Missy Elliott and Lenny Kravitz? Those are the most non-relevant musicians ever. Mm-hmm. And putting them back out on center stage again. I was going to ask you about that anyway. But yeah, that's interesting. The Lionsgate connection. I'd never made that connection before.
Right.
You're definitely going to make me go back and look through all their catalog right now of movies. That's interesting.
Yeah. And if you see Lionsgate, you know, you're in for some, like twisted crap, right? I think they came out with, Saw. Was their first big one?
Oh, I've avoided watching that, and I'm never going to watch it. So, but yeah, that's some twisted stuff, though. I'll tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So here's a question that I've got, though. I'm trying to get my mind around, since we're kind of at this point now where they're displaying this stuff more and more, and we're also seem to be kind of. We're seeing the Horror Babylon role seems to be filled by either, you know, Katy Perry or Beyonce or whoever. Mm-hmm. Is it important to think about, like, who these people are that are fulfilling these roles? And I also want to know if, in your opinion, that the disclosure of these roles as we're kind of rolling forward here, are they telling a story? Like, are there things that we saw, say, maybe last year at the Grammys, that we saw kind of like the follow-ups to at this year's Grammys? Like, are they telling a story, or are they trying to lay out a timeline, in your opinion? Or are these just showing off, you know, trying to keep people confused kind of stuff?
No, they're telling you a story, and they're bringing back their ancient gods in life for us to worship again.
Okay.
And so since you brought up the Grammys, it was really interesting because since I had said that about the lion, her riding a great cat-like beast, and that came true, they invited me to go on Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis, and he asked me, you know, the Grammys is coming up, what do you think we might see at the Grammys?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, if they were in keeping with this theme that I think they are, and how I predicted the cat-like beast, then we would need to see some representations of the horned god.
We didn't have to watch more than 5 minutes.
Exactly. I know. I was freaking out. I was like, I called it again. So
yeah.
The first performance was AC/DC, right? Singing Highway to Hell.
I mean, seriously, let's just stop right there for just a second. First of all, one of the most irrelevant bands in the history of the universe at this point in terms of the Grammys. But if you're a fan, let's just look at the fact that they do have a pretty extensive repertoire. There's about, 1,000 songs that they could have picked from, and what did they choose? Highway to Hell. We took the most irrelevant band, and we put them on a stage with flames and horned things dancing around, and we played.
And the whole audience was putting on their light up.
Oh, I know, right? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So I'm like, well, there's a, you know, horned right there.
Yeah.
But it got even better when Madonna got on stage, because so she was the Scarlet Woman of the night, dressed as a matador with bulls around her.
Oh, so weird.
And the weird thing about the bulls is that we had asked Fritz Springmeier way back, what do you think we might see coming up in the next awards season as far as Monarch programming goes? And he said, well, maybe look for diamonds, because that's a symbol of a presidential model mind control slave, where Marilyn Monroe was one of the first, and she sang
Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend. First person to ever sang that, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
So, sure enough, the bulls were wearing diamond masks that danced around Madonna.
Were they? Did I miss that? Oh, man, I missed that.
And so I'm just like, okay, so you've got the horn god, which is their secret hidden god, who is the same as Pan. Okay?
Okay.
And then you go back into history, and you find out in the Sumerian tales and the Babylonian tales, the horned god was El, Adad, and Moloch.
Okay.
And Adad is the same as Baal, who is a known kind of child sacrifice god, god of blood sacrifice. And Moloch, too, is the god of child sacrifice by fire.
Right.
And they're both depicted with horns. And so this is kind of where you get the first representations of the devil with horns.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
And so you go back to this Ishtar gate, right? The one with the lions.
Uh-huh.
And it also has bulls, which is the god Adad, and this dragon creature, which they call Marduk.
Marduk, okay. Yeah. Marduk, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now I haven't finished the part three of this article series, which is what we're talking about right now, Baal and sacrifice and Saturn worship and stuff like that. But basically this is a representation of blood sacrifice and specifically child sacrifice. And so what makes it even weirder is Bobby Christina, Whitney Houston's daughter.
Right. So, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Tell us about all of that. I don't think a lot, we haven't talked about that on the air at all. People may not even know any of the background on that whatsoever.
Okay. So you remember, it wasn't last year, was it? Or year before Whitney Houston died on the Grammy, night of the Grammys.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they kept her body in the hotel while they partied underneath it, even though that she passed away in the afternoon and they had enough time to remove her before they even started partying. But the whole thing was in bad taste, right?
Yeah, to say
and
the least.
Even her, mentor, Clive Davis, supposedly the guy who brought her up through the industry, was the one who had them keep the body there instead of letting them remove it while he threw his pre-Grammy party.
Was it ostensibly because they didn't want to dampen the mood at the Grammys? Is that why
no,
they did that?
No, because they just wanted to, you know, have her there as the ritual sacrifice.
Right. I was just saying, was that the party line that they would have, you know, said now, that's why we didn't do it?
Who knows why they do what they do?
Because they're evil. Criminals are going to criminal.
Yeah.
They do.
Yep.
That's what they do. Okay, so getting on to Whitney Houston's daughter then.
Okay, so this year, but before I move on, so Whitney Houston died a tragic, mysterious death, right?
Right.
Drowned in the bathtub. Her daughter, the night before, was found unconscious in the bathtub and rushed to the hospital.
Uh-huh.
She survived. Whitney died. And then, so this year, Bobby Christina is the one who has died again. And is she still on life support? I'm not sure if they've taken it off or not.
I'm not sure about that. So wait, so you're saying that the daughter was also, was found last year but survived and then this year has done it again?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So she's kind of the high profile child sacrifice of this whole, ritual, in my opinion. And it was interesting because Whitney Houston, the night she died, she was supposed to perform Jesus Loves Me at the Grammys.
Really?
And this was the year where you had Nicki Minaj showing up with the Pope and
right.
doing her whole exorcism ritual and the dark things that they showed in that show. So, they killed Whitney Houston, who has always been a kind of a classy lady and who has a Christian background in history, and her whole network was gospel singers, CeCe
right.
Winans and her friends like that. So she was never that far away from the whole Christian gospel scene, and I think that's why they kind of chose her as the ritual sacrifice, because they're killing the Christianity aspect and bringing out the satanic one.
Right. Wow, that's scary. Okay, so I want to get back to the Super Bowl performance, if we could, for just a second, because I wanted to ask you about your impression of the star ride that Katy Perry took.
Yeah.
Because that, to me, was just so bizarre.
Okay, so the five-pointed star is Venus.
Okay.
The pentagram represents Venus because Venus, in its path through the heavens, makes a five-pointed star. So planets don't just go in this little round elliptical orbit that you think they do. They move around, they jump around. Mercury goes retrograde. It looks different from where we are. But this actually is kind of a miracle where Venus makes a perfect pentagram in the sky. And the pentagram is the goddess Isis.
Okay.
And also the blazing star. So you've got the star like rocket, right, that she's riding.
Right.
And the blazing star in Freemasonry is one of their secret esoteric things. It's the pentagram with this fire behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And that represents Sirius, the star Sirius, which Isis also represents in her form as Sothis. So they are always taking ancient gods and goddesses and mixing in this symbolism and making kind of a stew. I call it a witch's brew because it's hard to pinpoint exactly what group is doing what and controlling what because they're all different aspects, right?
Right.
But in my opinion, they're taking the dark side of all different kinds of magics to create something new and more terrible. So they take the dark side of the Tree of Life called the Clefot. They take the dark side of the OTO called the Typhonian OTO. and so whatever is dark and demented and damaging, they kind of just take aspects from that and put it into the ritual.
What was this OTO thing that you just mentioned? I've never heard of that.
The OTO?
Mm-hmm.
OTO is a secret society dedicated to sex magic and ushering in archetypal aeons into reality, such as Babylon of Aleister Crowley, through intense mental imagery and sex magic.
Okay.
So this was a order that was started before Aleister Crowley took it over. Sorry, I have something in my throat.
Hey, no problem.
So they had this OTO lodge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Aleister Crowley petitioned to join it. And he wrote this book called The Book of Lies. And these are some kind of esoteric poems that you have to decipher what the meanings of them are.
Okay.
And the head of the OTO comes to Aleister Crowley's door with this book of lies. And he says, you've given away our cosmic secret. Why did you do that? And he's like, what are you talking about? And he goes and points to this passage in the Book of Lies, and he says, there it is right there, the crux of our sex magic. And Aleister Crowley goes, oh, okay, now I get it.
Right.
And so they actually put him at the top of the degrees, you know, made him go through the last degree because he had already guessed upon their
figured it out. Right.
Big secret, right?
Yeah, okay.
So he took over the OTO, and he kind of refashioned it, remade it, and put in some of his Thelema ideas, and so this is kind of the sex aspect, and also like ushering ETs in. So this is where Katy Perry comes in with her video ET, saying right. I want to be a victim, I want to be abducted, because OTO and the Typhonian OTO is concerned with bringing in energies, what they call trans-Plutonian archetypes. So this is things outside our solar system.
Oh my gosh. Okay, Jamie, we got to take a 3-minute break. Okay. We'll come back and I want to talk about some of this trans-Plutonium archetype. I really like to talk a little bit about Mr. Walt Disney today too, if you wouldn't mind, but
yeah.
I don't want to take you away from any of this stuff on the Grammys and the Super Bowl accordion, but so we'll come back. We'll keep talking about all this kind of stuff. Appreciate you being here. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a 3-minute break. We'll be right.
So you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear. Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN. Worldwide.
After work, I'm so tired that I want to be left alone to sleep.
Hey, listen to me.
Who are you?
I'm you years ago when you felt healthy and young and everything worked on your body. Do you remember that?
Yes. I wish I felt like that now.
You can feel like that again with a new microplant powder formulation called Iodine Now. It cleans the entire body from head to toe and feeds the body what it really needs. You'll be in a better mood and you'll find more drive in your romantic life.
Really?
I gotta try iodine now and feel good again. It also protects you from radiation, heavy metals, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine, including cancer and most major diseases. You'll be amazed. You can be your own doctor. I want to keep you out of the hospital and off pharmaceuticals.
Wow. Why are you so nice to me?
Because I'm you. You're out of shape, and I need a better-looking future.
Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Iodine now. Only at HIPUSA.org.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Sea Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Degrees of Insanity with Donnie Gilson.
Sunday, Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much. You have a horse galloping in there. I don't think I have a horse galloping in there, Obsidian. I think it's just like a drum beat or something. There might be some horses in the background. I don't know. We're making a lot of noise. Anyway, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for hanging out in the chat room. If you guys have questions for Jamie, you can put them in there, and I will try and steward them across. I may open up this phone lines here in a little while. It just kind of depends on how in-depth we get with the rest of our conversation here. Of course, Jamie Hanshaw is our guest, freemantv.com. And I wanted to mention also, she has written a couple of fantastic books called Weird Stuff. It's two volumes. You can go to freemantv.com and get them there. It's kind of like a tabloid style encyclopedia of Illuminati symbolism, pop culture, social engineering. I love the way the layout of the books works. I just love the books. So I want to highly encourage everybody, if you're interested in stuff like this or Illuminati symbolism, things like that, definitely a book that you guys want to add to your collection. Again, you can find them at freemantv.com. And you can also learn more about their radio show, and there's all kinds of interesting stuff that these kids do over there, also with Freeman there. But anyway, Jamie, let's get back into our discussion about, I think right before we left the break, you were using an interesting word called transplutonian.
Yes.
I just wanted to come back and be able to say that again, but what were we talking about? I can't really remember.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we were talking about the OTO.
Oh, right. Okay. OTO, and yes, so please continue.
Okay, so continuing on from that, there's an even darker aspect of the OTO called the Typhonian order of the OTO. Mm-hmm. And this has to do with the god Typhon, the god of the abyss. And his the way they try to usher him in is through anal sex.
Ooh, okay.
Okay, so I got these old books by Kenneth Grant of the Typhonian order of the OTO.
Okay.
And you know, these are dusty old tomes, right, that you have to really put on your space thinking cap to try and figure out what these guys are talking about, because it's so in-depth. I mean, ceremonial magic is just like this crazy world where you have to learn astrology, you have to learn numerology, you have to learn Kabbalah, you have to learn Hermeticism, you have to learn all of these, how the planets interact with the tarot cards, and just like all this scientific stuff. So
when were those produced, those books?
Hold on, let me grab it.
Okay. Just curious about how far back this goes and when they stopped producing books like that, because it's difficult to find books, you know, a Barnes & Noble on Typhonian sex magic.
You exactly, know what I mean? You can't get this on Barnes & Noble. Right. Okay, this one was 1973.
Okay.
And this one is the third in the trilogy of Kenneth Grant, and it's called Aleister Crowley and the Hidden God.
Okay.
And on the cover, you have this thing called the Unicursal Hexagram, which is Crowley's sigil. And you can actually see this played out in the movie Prince of Egypt, where the Egyptian pharaohs do their song calling in the gods in front of Moses. And they make this universal hexagram, and you can pause it, and they do the exact thing. And then on the cover of the book also, you have this goddess Nut, the Egyptian goddess of the sky, on the cover. And they have that in the movie too. So if you want to go see... this, the cover of this book illustrated in child's cartoon, then go watch The Prince of Egypt.
Hmm.
But this is the first book I read where I found what they, consider the mark of the beast, which is the O and the X. And this just opened up a whole crazy Pandora's box of symbolism, because I'd never heard anybody talking about the mark of the beast being an O and X before.
Me neither. Yeah, me neither.
Right. And so after that, I mean, not after that, but so you've got the beast of, X-Men. Right? The Beast, which Aleister Crowley says he is, and it's all about this beast. He wears the O and the X on his chest. And then you've got Microsoft OX, you've got Beyonce singing XO. There's other ones. We have some articles on FreemanTV.com all about this. Even Russell Brand, when he had his Brand X TV show, mm-hmm. he had a big statue with the O and the X.
Wow, I've never heard that before, Jamie. Where does that stem from? I mean, how far back does the OX go?
I think it back to Egypt, probably, where it represented, in hieroglyphs, it would mean a town or a village or a crossroads.
Wow, okay. Mm-hmm.
And so the crossroads is a very, very esoteric subject, and the best story I can think of that is where Robert Johnson went down to the crossroads to sell his soul to the devil to be able to play guitar like he could.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And so the crossroads features really heavily in voodoo, where they will do rituals at the crossroads, do blood sacrifice. And so this is kind of a representation of the meeting point between the spiritual world and the physical world.
Okay.
And also it is the fusion of the phallus and the vagina together.
Wow, that makes sense. It's so funny that we all use that as hugs and kisses, you know,
exactly.
when we're sending it. And so where does that – I mean, I'm sure you don't know where that tradition comes from, but
yeah.
I wonder if that's – if they work that in somehow or if people – I just – man, that's just so crazy to me, Jamie, how much of this symbolism exists all around us and how even somebody like you who's known about this stuff for so long can still stumble across something that opens up a whole new world for you. You know what I mean? That's wild.
And this book I got, the Aleister Crowley and the Hidden God by Kenneth Grant, it was in this dusty old bookstore in London. And we said, show us your most secret stuff. Show us your, you know, what you keep behind the counter, basically, right? And so they pull out this book and they pull out the Sign Language of the Mysteries, which we also got. And that's where I was able to identify the...
Hang on.
Okay hand sign.
Jamie, just give me 1 second here. I'm going to disconnect from the show for a second and then come back to you. We're having some, I guess, even though you and I sound fine to each other, we're having some major, audio issues out on the big time out there. So, you know, do you have your speakers on again?
Let me plug in my headphones and see if that works.
Okay. Somebody's saying it sounds like an electronic horse is riding behind you.
Are you there?
We're working on it. I am here. Somebody,
is that better?
I'm not sure. You haven't changed to me, so I'm waiting for someone in the chat room. People are saying it sounds like there's an electronic horse riding behind you. And I was hoping it was going to get better, naturally, but, if it hasn't, can anybody, it's still there. Okay. I'm just going to disconnect from you, Jamie, real quick, and I'll just call you right back. Give me 2 seconds
okay.
here.
All right.
All right. Thank you much. Hold on here. Okay, we are back, hopefully, ladies and gentlemen. Is it any better? Has anybody given us any, give me some feedback here. Let me know if we're getting it better. It's the Headless Horseman of the Apocalypse is what
they're... Man, that is a good show. Have you seen that?
No, is that a real show?
The Sleepy Hollow show?
Is it a miniseries or a movie or what are you talking about?
It's a show, I think, on Fox. It's just called Sleepy Hollow. But it's, you know, Ichabod Crane of the Revolution coming back to life to fight, demons and Moloch.
Oh, you're joking.
No.
Oh, wow. Is it on Netflix? That might be something I have to check out.
It's on Hulu.
On Hulu? Who uses Hulu? Come on now. Well, we're having the same problem again. I don't know what's going on here. I mean, everything sounds great on my side. And you, can you hear me okay, Jamie?
Yep. I got my headphones and the speakers off, too.
Headphones in, speakers off. Well, I don't know. Everything. See, seems like TFR. Well, I don't know what to do. Should we continue? Because I can hear you and I enjoy talking to you. So I'm waiting to have somebody out there in radio land say it's we're either going to work or it's not going to work.
Well, you know what's funny is that Freeman and I have never had a show go right, and there's not one show that you can listen to ours without technical difficulties. And it seems like the more important the subject matter, the more interference we get.
We get that all the time. It's funny. We'll lose our Skype at certain key points when key names are going to be mentioned and things like that. We start getting onto secret, stuff that they don't want us disclosing. But you would think that nowadays, just about everything that could possibly be known is out in the public domain other than the stuff that's just ridiculously secret, and they got to guard that stuff really close. I can't imagine there's anything that we would be discussing really fundamentally. I mean, we're talking about what they're already showing us at the Grammys and at the Super Bowl, you know, I mean.
But not everybody has pierced through these veils that they've set up, you know. So they, even if you went to realize that politics was corrupt, you could just stop there and never learn anything else.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Well, okay. I think we're going to be let's just keep going. I'm not sure what's going on with the feed. Hopefully it will be fine, but I'm not too worried about it, really, to be honest. Where were we? Were we talking about, last thing I wrote down was Hulu. That's what I'm going to tell you.
Hulu. That was the one that said, we're going to liquefy your brains and suck them up, right? The aliens. And so here's a big point that people don't, put occult magic together with the UFO phenomenon, because Aleister Crowley was at the heart of this, channeling aliens, opening portals, in the ether for these beings to come through. And this is about the time when he died, was about the time of the Roswell crash.
Okay.
And Crowley actually contacted this one being he called Lom, who looks exactly like a gray alien.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
there's so much. Do you not then believe in aliens, or do you believe that aliens are some kind of demonic being and Aleister Crowley was trying to reach out to them, or what?
Both. I believe it's all kinds. I mean, I believe there's all different types of species of aliens doing different things here, but definitely the darker ones who don't care about humanity have some kind of hold on the world government.
Some kind of hold. They got the whole thing big time at this point, man.
And there was even I can't remember her name, but this head banker lady came out and said that the head bankers of the world have elongated heads and they're aliens who don't care about humanity and they run religion and finance in the world.
Who said that?
Oh, I can't remember her name. She was just on Red Ice.
Was that Karen Hudis that said that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It doesn't surprise me. I'll tell you, man, she's been behind the curtain. And if there's somebody that could actually say something like that I would believe, Karen Hudis is it. I mean, she's got law degree from Yale. She was at the World Bank for like 20 years, and then disclosed some things and then they ostracized her and kicked her out. Definitely somebody worth listening to. But that's interesting that she would say that the bankers have elongated hells and are, you know, in collusion with Satan.
Yeah, and you know, one time this fan came to visit us in his big semi-truck, and we had a little conversation. He says, yeah, I used to play golf with five-star generals and things like that. And I asked this one general, I said, okay, just tell me between you and me right now, are aliens real?
Right.
And the general said, yes, they're real, and there's nothing we can do about it, and I'm not going to say anything else.
Mm-hmm. That story comes up all the time. I mean, that's really the long and the short of it, is that there are a lot of people out there that believe we've been colluding with them. That's why we've gotten all this crazy technology, and that we've allowed them to take some of us away or do, you know, genetic experimentation on us or whatever. And it's more cost effective to just try and work with them than it would be to fight them, I think, is kind of the gist that I'm getting from.
There was this really good show that kind of illustrates the point we're making right now, Torchwood of Doctor Who.
Uh-huh, okay.
It's like a Doctor Who spinoff. And in the show Torchwood, the aliens come down and they have control of, you know, whatever they want control of. And they said, we want a percentage of your children.
Right.
And they had to comply because, you know, they had them. And so they had to give them their children, and they said, why do you want our children? Because they said they're delicious.
Oh.
And Torchwood actually has some esoteric meanings, too, because that's the Lucifer, the flame, right?
Right. Morning Star.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. interesting. Man, there's just so much of that. That you know, you can look at products in the grocery store and they have these crazy names, and then you start looking at logos and it seems like everybody is worshiping Saturn all of a sudden. It's like there's just so much going on that I don't think we understand, or that I certainly don't understand. Really glad that you were able to come and kind of talk to us about some of this. What about that like cult of Saturn? Is that a real thing in your experience?
Yes, and I was just doing the work on it this morning before I got on the phone with you.
All right.
And that's going to appear in part three of this Super Bowl spectacular article all about Saturn and the baby eater, because we were talking about cannibalism before with the lions, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then so Katy Perry, after she gets off the lion, she goes and she's the flame, right?
Yeah, she's got the whole dress is like a big flame.
Yeah.
She's wearing, right? Mm-hmm.
And so this goes back to Aleister Crowley's lust card of his tarot deck, where he has the Scarlet Woman riding the beast and holding up the flaming grail for the serpents of the ether to feast on.
Right.
And even in his own book, he said the cup is full of the blood of the saints.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. And you can see on the card the beast trampling on the heads of praying saints and the woman holding up the grail. But so after Katy Perry gets off the lion, she goes onto this icy chessboard, checkerboard pattern thing. And of all the symbolism with the checkerboard, you know, you could talk about Masonic imagery and stuff like that. But I was more interested in what is this whole, she's the fire on the ice, right? And it was interesting they were chess pieces too, because we had a show with Tracy Twyman about when she was channeling Baphomet on the Ouija board. He was telling her that the chess game is a big part of this, and you just have to go read Tracy Twyman's work on that.
Isn't that the black and white checkerboard? That's like Solomon's Temple, the Masonic floor.
Yeah, that is like a Masonic floor, but this specifically has to do with the game of chess.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, because they were dancing chess pieces.
Yeah, they were. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we're missing a lot to that is what you're saying. Can you give us any details? I mean, give us a little bit of a clue.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Not really. Just you have to go read this article by Tracy Twyman about Baphomet and the chess board called the Agio board.
Agio.
And she has a really good long blog and some excerpts from her book and what Baphomet was saying to her through the Ouija board and stuff like that.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay. But so then I went to look up fire and ice, and I was like, okay, so what is this fire and ice, right? And I find this old book called The History, Structure, and Rituals of Germany's Most Influential Modern Magical Order, The Brotherhood of Saturn.
They knew how to title a book back then, didn't they?
Right.
My goodness.
So this fire and ice is the Brotherhood of Saturn, which a lot of people are doing some really good work on right now. I think the best website, if you don't want to get books about Saturn Death Cult, is just SaturnDeathCult.com.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, Saturn is the Titan Kronos, who is the baby eater who was killed by Jupiter, right?
Okay.
And that's why in the Illuminati you have these people who are more Saturnian based, and then you have, like, they have light sides, they say, inside the Illuminati, people who are trying to usher the world into a more utopian way.
Okay.
And so they even have cults inside the Illuminati battling each other. And there was this one secret cult, and I got this out of that Kurth Barker book, the cannibalism book.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a Society of Jupiter who was against the child sacrifice aspect of the Illuminati.
Wow. Okay.
But so Saturn, he's also associated with Moloch. You know, for the child sacrifice reasons. But Saturn is a really good study if you want to learn about, like, why Islam, why did they circumnavigate this giant black cube, the Kaaba stone, because the black cube is Saturn.
So explain that to people. Why is there, you know, what is the cube relationship to Saturn?
Okay, in occult esoteric geometry, they have this thing called the hypercube. And it's this thing that just folds in on itself, and it's their representation of an eternal prison.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah, Saturn is the hypercube, the eternal prison. He's the baby eater. He's Kronos, Moloch.
Well, it's interesting, too, that while all this was going on, and I don't know if, I mean, I've been doing some Saturn research also, but, you know, just a few years ago, they discovered that there was a permanent hexagram on the North Pole of Saturn that's caused magnetically, and they don't know how. And the hexagram is also a three-dimensional representation of a cube. Is that not correct? I mean, if you were to take a hexagram and kind of wonk it out, you can make it look like a cube from a certain angle, from what I understand. So there was some sort of cube connection to Saturn going way back in time.
Well, that would definitely connect the whole Star of David to Saturn, right?
Absolutely it would. Yes, yeah. Ma'am. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which makes you wonder why you see the Star of David on Catholic churches. And you also see Saturn itself showing up in stained glass windows of Catholic churches and places like that. Mm-hmm. And then you've got all these, I'm looking at Skype right now. Skype, the logo for Skype is Saturn, you know? I mean, right. is that one of the big clubs, you think? Cause that seems like that's like they've got all the money in the world and that's, you know,
definitely, I think the cult of Saturn is who is at the spearhead of this whole child sacrifice phenomenon that we're seeing.
Right. Do you have some thoughts on those videos that came out of the UK a couple of weeks ago?
Oh, the little kids?
Yeah, does that have to do with these situations?
Yes,
also?
Definitely, and I totally believe them.
Oh, I do, absolutely. I've already run that video by some friends of mine who are psychologists who've just said there's no way in under God's green earth that those kids are lying. They're absolutely conditioned. You can see it in their faces. Like, there's just no way that those kids are making that stuff up.
And they even had a part two where they were talking about how they take the leftover parts to a Starbucks somewhere and to a McDonald's somewhere, and they knew exactly where, you know, Starbucks and East Finchley and McDonald's and Hampstead or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And they knew exactly what they were saying, and they weren't, I don't think they were coached at all, and I think they're telling the truth.
Well, you couldn't coach somebody. I mean, think about how long it would take someone to get comfortable saying the things that those kids were saying. The only way that you could arrive at that comfort level is to either have suppressed your own emotions because of fear of, something coming, reprisal from speaking out against what these things are that are happening to you. You couldn't coach that. There aren't actors that good on the planet. I don't believe.
No. And just the way that they, you know, very matter-of-factly said what their father does in the rituals and what they have to do with him. And so this is, to them, it was all normal until they got to this age of realization, like, it's not normal to eat babies and take their skulls and dance around.
No, exactly.
And so then you have them coming out saying, we've made a pact with each other. We're not going to touch each other anymore. We're not going to let other people touch us anymore. And we're not going to kill babies anymore. And we're not going to, you know, they have this whole thing worked out.
Right.
Exactly.
That's just amazing to me. But you think this, so again, so we're kind of thinking that some of the agencies responsible for what happened with these children are probably tied into this satanic Saturn death cult kind of thing?
Yes, definitely.
Wow.
And that's why I connected it with Bobby Christina, because I feel that she is the high-profile sacrifice of this awards season. And so it was interesting, even the time of year that the Super Bowl fell on, because it was in bulk, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Imbolc is a very high ritual day, one of the four bonfire festivals of paganism that celebrate the coming of spring. So the goddess that they worship, she turns from a crone to a maiden on February 1st.
Okay.
And this is when the Super Bowl happened.
Right.
So there's like more, there's the flame of Katy Perry's dress again.
Wow. Golly.
And then February 2nd is Bridget's Day. So she's a Celtic goddess for fertility who kept a sacred flame. And they even keep her perpetual flame going in Kildare Island. So back in the day on Imbolc, they would make little dolls of Bridget. And then they would bring this big doll called a bride dog around from house to house, parading her around. And so this year, you know, Katy Perry was the goddess that, you know, passed the procession through nearly every house in America, right?
Right, okay.
And so Imbolc is a really important day, and there's a lot of research that you can do. I haven't found any
Imbolc was
concrete proof. Yeah.
Second day of February, you said?
Yeah, well, okay. This year it was the first.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and then the second was Bridget's Day. But I haven't found any concrete evidence to say whether or not the pagans would do ritual sacrifice on Imbolc, but I have heard a lot of testimonies of ritual abuse and mind control where they do definitely, they say that they use the holidays of Christianity and paganism alike for their rituals.
Okay. Wow. What do we think is going to happen next? What's the next big event that's going to go on, and what are your predictions for that one? Is there anything coming up, Grammys? Or I mean, I know it'll be a year until we see those again. But
Oscars are over.
Right.
The musical award shows are always a lot more telling than just the regular Oscars or television awards and stuff like that, right? Because you have the whole theatrical performance. And this kind of goes back into my book, the new book that I'm coming out with, Hollywood Mind Control, because the history of drama goes back to the mystery schools and them invocating gods and goddesses to play out in front of the public. So they're taking the teachings of their mystery schools and putting it in a way that the public can understand and emulate.
Wow. So what is the next big award show coming up? And do we think they're going to summon Satan again? Or what do we think is going to happen?
Which one is coming up? I don't know.
I don't either. Well, what do we expect to see from the next, you know, what do you think is going to happen? You called the cat thing, right? I'm kind of giving you an opportunity to maybe think about what do you think is going to happen next time, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. You have to go look at Thelema, and this is where I'm just getting this from. You know, Thelema, OTO, basically is what the bulk of my work is about.
Right.
And the dark side of these ceremonial magics.
Well, but I think
prediction, I don't know.
That's okay. I think it's easy enough to predict that it'll probably happen again, and that it'll probably be more in our face than ever before the next time we see it, just because it seems to be...
How much more blatant can you get than, like, Katy Perry at the Grammys singing Dark Horse with the witch's brooms and the crystal ball and, you know.
I mean, honestly, the only thing I could think of is actually, like, burn an effigy of a human being on stage. Like, if they bring the cremation of care onto stage at the Grammys.
A big owl.
Right? That would be, that's gotta be the next high watermark. I don't know what else. Like you said, like, what else could they possibly do other than summon Satan at the Grammys?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I definitely look forward to another show with you, because I imagine by then they'll have done something crazy. So I really appreciate you showing up today, and I will let you go now. We're about out of time for the day. But I want to encourage everybody, please do go to freemantv.com. And I'm telling you, these books that she's written, Weird Stuff, Operation Culture Creation, just amazing, amazing stuff. I love them. I love them. Cannot recommend them highly enough. So please go check out freebandtv.com. And Jamie, when is the show that you guys do? Can you give the time and stuff for that?
It's every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern.
And then that's also at freemantv.com?
Yep.
Very nice. All right, Ms. Hanshaw, I appreciate you being here. You take care and have a wonderful rest of your day.
Okay, you too.
Ladies and gentlemen, appreciate you guys hanging out. I hope you enjoyed that discussion with Ms. Hanshaw. Tomorrow, gonna just keep you guys in the loop. It's going to be Wolfgang Halbig on the show. We'll be talking about Sandy Hook and some of the latest revelations in terms of that. So appreciate you guys all being here, and you guys all take care. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Take care. Good luck out there, ladies and gentlemen. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information. Without the hate, hype, and fear, we are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Reports
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with The Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832-225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll-free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.